Thank you for joining me this morning, otherwise I'd be here by myself. And that's never a good feeling. So I really appreciate you all being here this morning. Please join me as we begin our service. We begin to sing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal, number 549.
In the red
hymnal, yep. The doxology, number 549. Worship is hymn number 648. Happy is he whose guilt is removed, whose sin is forgiven. Happy the man whom the Lord reckons no evil, whose spirit is free from guile. Then I told you my sin, I hid not my guilt. I said, I confess, O Most High, my transgressions, O Lord. As for you, you removed the guilt of my sin. Therefore every saint prays unto you. When an army approaches or flood waters rise, he is not overtaken. You are my refuge. You protect me from danger. You surround me with shouts of triumph. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 278, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Hymn number 278, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Gracious God, We come before you right now in the quietness of this chapel. And Lord, you know everything about us even before we come to you and pray. But yet, God, you remind us that regardless of what we have done, what we are doing, and what we're going to do, you still love us just the way that we are. And we praise you for that. And Lord, as we read the call of worship together, you reminded us that all of our transgressions have been forgiven if we just come before you and ask. And that you do make us whiter than snow. You do allow the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away all of our sins. And God, we praise you for that. So Lord, it is in that communion with you, realizing that our sins have been forgiven, that we come before you with the needs and requests that we have in our lives. And Lord, you know what they are. You know the challenges that we are facing. And God, we are trusting in you in all things. And God, most importantly, that as we come to you in prayer, that you remind us to the presence of your Spirit in our lives, that we draw closer to you. And God, we know that in drawing closer to you, we can see the things that you want us to see, the change, the things that you want us to make a difference in. And we see the purpose in which you've called each and every one of us to serve each other and to serve you. Lord, we think of the needs of family members and of friends. We think of the needs of patients throughout this medical center, the staff that is working here today, the family that we'll be visiting. And Lord, we lift them up to you in prayer in the same way, that they too would sense your presence in their lives and that they would draw closer to you in prayer as well. And God, we thank you that we have this opportunity to come and worship you. And you remind us that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are present amongst them. And Lord, we know that you are here with us now, and we praise you for that. And we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 207, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. 207, Tell Me the Old, Old Story.
Tell me the story.
sing that one very often, so every once in a while I got to stretch myself, sing something different. Thank you for joining me in singing. Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, beginning with verse 18. My kingdom is not of this world, said Jesus. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would be handed over to the Jews. As it is, my kingdom does not have its origins here. You are a king then, Pilate asked. You say that I am a king, Jesus replied. I was born for this, and I have come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. What is truth? Said Pilate. And after he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, I find no grounds for charging him. Amen. Let us pray. God, I just want to thank you for the time that we have had thus far in praying together and singing together and reading scripture together. Because, Lord, we do this because we want to honor you, not just during our time of worship, but we want to honor you in everything that we do in our lives. And God, that is our goal. And Lord, right now, I just want to honor you with the words that you have given me so that we can continue to have that close relationship with you. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. So the question is this morning, what is truth for you? What does truth represent to you? What are your filters that tell you what truth is for you? I think all of us are in pursuit of truth in our lives. We may not put it in those terms, but I think all of us are looking for answers to things that we have encountered about life. And I think within our own individual lives, we are looking for that truth. We are looking for those answers to those questions that we have. We are looking to find some kind of fulfillment in the whys that we have in our lives. So we are looking for truth. We are looking for answers to those questions about the whys. Do you have why questions that you ask yourself and that you ask God? I think we all do. Why am I here? Lord, why did you allow this to happen? Why am I in the circumstances that I find myself in? Why can't you help me, God? Why can't you give me the healing that I want? Why are other people being hurt? Why am I being hurt? Why have I been hurt, Lord? We are looking for truth by the simple fact that we ask those questions why. Jesus told Pilate, and he's telling us, that he represents that truth. So at least one of the questions can be answered, I think, from a spiritual nature, in terms of what we are looking for in terms of a moral and spiritual truth. And the answer to that question can be found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But not only do we have to ask that question, if that is the truth that represents us, we also have to find the answer to that question in terms of what is truth. What are you looking for? What is the relationship that's the ideal one that you feel would solve all of your problems and solve all of your needs? But then I think if we had that happen to us, we would actually ask God another question. Is this all that there is, God? You've satisfied all of my needs. You've satisfied all of my longings. You've satisfied all of my hungers. And we would say, God, is this all there is? Is there more than just this satisfaction that we want to have? Is there more than just this spiritual truth that we've try to find in our relationship with God. And I think that's what Jesus is telling Pilate, is if you see me as the truth, or if you see me not as the truth, then it has a direct relationship with how you see and understand God. And if that truth that we should be asking, that we should be searching for, gives us an understanding of God, then that understanding of God affects what everything about everything that we do in our lives, doesn't it? How you see God in your life affects your actions. How you see God in your life represents the truth of what you think, of what you really believe in. I enjoy the times that we have in worship together here. It's something that I look forward to. But I know that when I leave here, my actions and my act of worship doesn't stop when I walk out of this chapel. It continues because I believe that I have a relationship in truth through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that affects my relationship with God. And because of that, my life should be an example of that spiritual and moral truth. Is my kingdom of this world, or is it of a different world that Jesus speaks of? So where is your kingdom? The truth in terms of what we represent is seen by what we think about what is important. If we think our kingdom here right now in the present is more important than a different kingdom that is not of this world, then our actions that you and I have will emphasize that. And yes, we have needs. We have needs to eat, and we have needs to sleep, and we have needs to have relationships, and we need to have jobs and employment to meet some of those needs. But I'm talking about the essence of those things in terms of what we focus on. What do we want more of? The last couple of weeks, I have been struck by the whole idea that the fact that it's okay where you are, what you are doing. And what I mean by that is, it's okay if you think that your life is obscure. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think that you wanted to be something else than what you really became? You wanted to be more significant? You wanted to have more of a purpose? You have a longing to play more of a part in life? And then you find yourself really being down on yourself because you see other people, quote-unquote, being successful in terms of what the world says? And then you fear your life being obscure and not really matter? There's a truth here, is don't let that feeling, don't let that feeling obscurity deceive you from what God has planned for you, what God has for your life. The fact that your relationship with God is not obscure. Your life is worth living. The purpose that you have right now is where God wants you to be because there is something that you need to learn about yourself. There's something that you need to learn about others. There's a greater knowledge that you need to obtain about the truth of what your relationship is with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing. The fact that you are here this morning with me, worshiping in this chapel, tells me that you are not obscure. That God has meaning and purpose for you and for me. That Jesus Christ died for my sins as well as your sins, and that is not obscurity. On the contrary, that means that you are so important to God that he reminds you through the presence of his Spirit in your life that you have not been forgotten by him. You are not obscure. I am not obscure. And God tells us that we should not be deceived because of what the truth of Christ is to represent in our lives. Do we listen to that voice of truth? Do we understand the truth that God wants us to incorporate in our lives? There's a Johnny Cash song, and it's titled, What is Truth? And in the lyrics of that song, he talks about different relationships that people have, the old and the young, war and peace. He talks about Sunday school. He talks about what a girl thinks of what's going on in the world around her, what a young man thinks about the world that's going around him. And at the end of each lyrical song, he asks the question, what is truth? Truth is something within our own lives, if we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, is knowable. We can have an understanding of that truth. We don't have to throw up our hands as Pontius Pilate did and say, what is truth? Truth is not elusive. We can find it. The ultimate truth in the universe, I believe, is Jesus Christ being the Lord and Savior of each and every life. And that truth, in terms of what we're looking for, is not something that is subjective. It is objective truth. It is objective truth because of the power of the Spirit of God that is with you and that is with me once we enter in that relationship with God. And truth is something that we know, that we can understand. And yes, there are times, there are elements of truth that we have to take with faith. But the truth that we take with faith is not nonsense. It's not out of ignorance. It's not out of stupidity. It's out of the understanding that you and I have that we want to love God with everything that is within us, that we want to love God. And our desire to love God shows us that we want to have that truth revealed to us. And that truth is seen and displayed in so many different ways in our lives. We would like to have truth to be revealed, truth shown to each and every one of us. Truth that is sown in such a way that you and I have a revelation from God about our lives, about God's desire to have fellowship with us, to commune with us, individually and collectively as a body of believers. The truth that God wants us to have is there for us every day. Every moment of every day. Lately, I have been at certain moments in my life where I've just had to kind of shut out the rest of the world and ask God this question. God, please draw closer to me. God, allow me to draw closer to you. Help me with everything that I do that somehow that it leads to a closer relationship. God, you have reminded me that my life is not obscure, that you have put me where you want me for a reason and for a purpose for those people that come in contact with me. And that includes all of you. There's a reason why on this Sunday morning that you are here. There's a reason why that I am here. There's a reason why that we are speaking about truth. Because you and I are not obscure. because God's truth for each and every one of us is not obscure. The truth that God wants us to display in our lives is consistent with everything that the Bible talks about. The truth that is consistent with the Bible reminds us that there is only one truth, and that is found in Jesus Christ. And for us to understand that reminds us that truth is essential. If you truly want to have purpose, if you truly want to find the will of God, then you and I need to be able to identify that truth is something that we have to have. We have to have it. It is essential for us to live our daily lives wanting a relationship with God, in an obedience to God, following God's command under God's grace. Being obedient to God under God's mercy. And that's a truth that you and I should be living with. A truth that is essential to everything that we are doing. Everything that we are saying. And God does not want to take anything away from who we are as a person, because God created you. God created all of the personality that you have. You are what you are because God has created you in all of the circumstances, the families that you were a part of, the relationships that you have, all of those things that have influenced you in terms of who you are as a person. God has created those things. So to exhibit that truth that we have with God, we need to be who God has created. Not with our faults, not with our failures, not with our sin, but the truth in terms of how God has created us, in terms of our ability to relate to people, the ability to do other things for God that maybe no one else can do, the lives that you and I can touch in very different ways. Each and every one of you, because of your circumstances, because of who you are and how God has created you, you can reach out to certain people that I could never communicate with effectively, but you can, because you share similar circumstances. You share a similar background. But God still wants you to share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is something that we need to understand as we exhibit God's truth. As we not only hear the truth, but we incorporate the truth in our lives. And that the life that God wants us to have is based on a consistent living of the truth that we claim that we have in Christ. There needs to be a consistency in how we live. Doesn't mean that we don't have bad days. Doesn't mean that we don't get upset about certain things or annoyed about different things that we see in our lives. But there's a reminder to us that we always need to go back to the truth. It's like having a compass in which that compass represents the truth. And instead of that compass pointing north, it points to truth. And you and I in that compass need to look and be reminded of the direction that God wants us to be in. It doesn't mean that we don't deviate from time to time or that we go in a different direction, but God always wants us to return to true north, to true truth. And that's the direction that he wants us to have in our lives to move forward and take those steps that are challenging to us every day. To give us that compass reading that tells us that we want to go in the direction of truth in all that we do, in all that we say. We want to be consistent in our actions so people can see our desire is to represent the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not going to be perfect. You and I will represent that truth with imperfection. But we should not be ashamed of that. In fact, on the contrary, the fact that you and I are making the effort with all of our imperfections tells us that we believe in the truth and that we're heading in the right direction. So the challenge for us is that the truth that we find in Christ is either fact or fiction. Are you living a life based on fact or fiction? Are you living a life in which you've incorporated the truth of Jesus Christ and you're living it as though it is fact? That your actions and your deeds, as best as we as human beings and our imperfections can possibly live, are trying to live up to that fact. That Jesus died for your sins and for my sins, and there by the grace of God go I in my circumstances and my walk each day? Or are we living a life based on a truth that is totally fiction, totally made up? We claim that we are followers of Jesus Christ, but yet when we leave here, we go back and do and say the same things as though people didn't even know that we are a Christian. They don't know anything different about us because we have been unwilling to change. That's a life that's being lived with a truth that represents fiction. And I would say to you, and I would say to me in the same way, that if we're living a life that is based on fiction, then you and I are not truly living. And that fictitional life that we have been living, or that we may be living in the future, is going to take us nowhere. And we truly will be obscure at that point. Because we will no longer have the direction of truth that God wants us to have on His compass. The compass that represents the cross. The compass that represents the forgiveness of our sins. The compass that represents the eternal life that He wants us to have. The compass that God wants us to have with the security that we have in the relationship with God. The security that can only come from following a truth that is fact. It's a decision that we ourselves have to answer that question for ourselves. Just like Pontius Pilate, when he asked the question, "What is truth?" he needed to answer that question for himself. And in the same way, you need to answer that question for yourself. I cannot answer it for you. Someone else cannot answer it for you. You have to ask that question and answer that question for yourself. Because that's where we truly reveal whether our lives is based on fact or based on fiction. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts. And what a wonderful opportunity it is for us to have communion together as a body of believers in Jesus Christ that always gives us the opportunity to ask that question, what we believe in, what is our truth, what is our fact, and what is our fiction. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you have reminded us that you want us to walk in truth, that you give us the direction of truth, of what is true. God, forgive us when we walk in a different direction, when we do things in our lives that represents the fiction of a truth that is based on ourselves versus the truth that represents the fact that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to live a life based on fact. The truth of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the ascension of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Amen. Receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is number 275, "Fairest Lord Jesus." Us how you want us to live a life based on the truth that is in fact the fact that we have put our total trust in you through your Son Jesus Christ. Help us, God, to do that. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning. Please join me as we begin our service by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal, number 549. The doxology, number 549. Is hymn number 698. The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the very nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to become equal with God. Instead of his own free will, he gave it all up, and he took the nature of a servant. He became like man. He appeared in human likeness. He was humbled and walked the path of obedience to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name, so that in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven and on earth and in the world below will fall on their knees, and all will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 275. Fairest Lord Jesus, 275, Fairest Lord Jesus. God, again and again, you remind us as we come to you in our prayers that you want us to say thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. And God, many times we take those blessings for granted. And God, I would ask that you would help me and help those who need to see those little blessings that are all around us, those little miracles that take place every day that remind us of your presence, to remind us that we are not alone and that you're always with us, God. Lord, we thank you for those blessings, for those miracles. And we thank you, God, that you can open our eyes, that we can see those things that you want us to see so we can draw closer to you. And God, as we come before you with the needs and requests that we have in our lives, Lord, we not only think of ourselves, but we think of family members and of friends. We think of the patients here throughout this medical center. We think of the staff that is working here today, the family members that will be visiting. And Lord, we lift them up to you in prayer in the same way. As we pray for ourselves, we also pray for those that you call to mind right now through the presence of your loving Spirit in our lives. And God, in the same way, Lord, we'd ask that you would open their eyes, that they could see the many blessings and the many small miracles that are taking place in their lives, and to remind them that they are not alone as well. And Lord, as we just want to say thank you for this time of worship, the opportunity that we have to freely worship you in this chapel, God, and we do not take for granted the services and the sacrifices of the veterans of this nation, of the past, of the present, and of the future that will guarantee these freedoms that we have to worship you as we choose. And Lord, we also thank you for the family members that have stood by our veterans, that have been there with them, that have experienced the loneliness, and God has also experienced the pain and the suffering, as many of our veterans have experienced it as well. And God, we are just so thankful. We just want to say praise you, God, for what you've done in our lives. And we are thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 382, Be Still My Soul. Hymn number 382, Be Still My Soul. Be still my soul. Comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. As he was sowing, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the sky ate it up. Other seed fell on the rock, and when it sprang up, it withered, since it lacked moisture. Seed fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up, and with it choked it out. Still other seed fell on good ground, and when it sprang up, it produced a crop 100 times what was sown. As he said this, he called out, "Anyone who has ears to hear should listen." Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, just want to say thank you for the many blessings you've given us already, in the spirit and in truth that you represent. As we have read scripture together, we have offered prayers together, we have sung hymns together. And Lord, I would ask that continual spirit of truth, and that you would help me right now. In Christ's name. Amen. Well, I hope you've had a good week. Mine was interesting getting back on track after being gone for about 10 days or so and getting back into the routine of doing things. One of the things I want to speak to you about is I'm going to try to begin a sermon set or a sermon series specifically with dealing with the parables. I'm going to try. We'll give it a shot. And I think what's important to understand about the parables is that in the scriptures, there's over 60 different parables that Jesus talked about, that Jesus expressed. I'm not going to cover all 60, but I'm going to try to cover at least maybe the top 30. So if you're with me for the next 30 weeks, you're going to hear a parable every week. Now, hopefully some of you won't be here 30 weeks from now, and you'll have graduation, and you'll be going on with everything that you've learned here, and you'll just be praising the Lord as you journey through the rest of your life, as you and I are truly pilgrims in this life. So when we think about the parables and understanding them, there's a couple of requirements that I think that is a challenge to me, and also I believe a challenge to you as well, is one thing that Christ wants us to do is he wants to listen and hear what he is saying. And thankfully, through the parables, as he explained them to his disciples and as he explained them to the crowds that were following him, he always gave an explanation just in case you didn't understand what he was talking about. In fact, the word parable itself means, in literal translation, something that goes alongside us. So the teachings of Jesus Christ in his parables for us is something that you and I can value because it goes alongside of us as we journey, as we travel, as you and I are truly pilgrims in this kingdom of this world, waiting to arrive in the kingdom of the eternity that is to come. So you and I are fellow pilgrims. So hopefully all of us together will learn as Christ walks beside us through his parables that we'll have a different insight and a different understanding of how we are to live our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. So the parables can speak to us in different ways, and the parables will probably be confronting us in different issues that we need to understand within our own everyday lives. Perhaps the parables will be confirming the things that we have been doing, the things that we've been doing in terms of our walk with God and the maturity and the growth that he wants us to have, and also conforming to us that as we walk with Christ, that we want to do the things that bring glory and honor to him. So the parables that we are learning today about the seed and the sower, we have talked about seeds in the past, the last couple of weeks, of what that means and what that represents. But for us this morning, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he was sowing, some fell along the path. So as we go out and as we practice and hopefully learn about different things that Christ has for us in our lives, we will have that seed be part of our lives and it will not be trampled down. In other words, it will be something that we can use within our everyday lives. But we need to have an open mind to what God has for us as we experience His sowing in our lives, the sowing of the seed of the Word of God. And the Word of God comes to us in different ways. It comes to us by the scriptures that we read. It comes to us by the hymns that we sing. It comes by the prayers that we offer for ourselves and also for each other. It can come from little sayings. It can come from relationships that we have with each other when we speak about the God in our lives in terms of the transformation, hopefully, that is taking place in your life and in my life. So we need to have an open mind as to what God is leading us to do. Because if we have a closed mind, we are truly taking the Word of God that is being applied to our lives, and we are trampling it down, and it has no value for our lives, and the things in our lives that easily overcome us come and takes us away. The birds of the sky ate it up. The things that we deal with on a regular basis, the challenges that we are facing, the different distractions that we have. So if you have a closed mind this morning, nothing that I say to you, none of the hymns that we have sung together, none of the scriptures that we have read together, none of the prayers that we had offered makes any sense to you and has no meaning. Because the seed has fallen along the path, you have trampled it with your closed mind, and all of the different things that are taking place in your life that are different distractions have came and ate it up. And so therefore you will leave here with absolutely nothing. But yet, maybe you don't have a closed mind, maybe you have a cluttered mind, maybe you have different things that are taking place in your life and you're trying to figure it out in terms of putting things in perspective and putting things in priority. Because that represents the other seed that fell on the rock, and when it sprang up, it withered. But it lacked the moisture that we need to have. And I don't have a green thumb. Some of you may. I don't grow plants, even though one time in my life I actually lived on a farm and I understand a little bit about a farming, not a whole lot. I learned more about how to take care of pigs because that was one of my responsibilities. So I don't refer to anybody here as being a pig. All right. But in terms of understanding the clutter that takes place in our lives, we have so many things that easily clutters our minds in terms of the distractions that actually prevents us from hearing the Word of God as it is given to us on a daily basis. The Word of God in terms of how it applies. And maybe that clutter sometimes just needs to be cleared. Maybe we just need to take the time and say, you know, God, I'm just going to be still and I'm going to know that you are God and I am just going to be silent. Or maybe you're the type that always has to have your mind going on something. You always have your mind going here, there, and everywhere. And you don't take the time because you like the clutter. You like the distractions because you don't have to think about where you are in terms of your relationship with God. You don't have to think about the things that you need to work on because your mind is so full of clutter that you're happy with that. You're okay with the busy mind because it's just going, going, going. You're always doing, 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 doing. And somehow that will be okay because it takes away from the problems and the situations that you need to truly work on. But then perhaps your mind is one of those situations where as we look at and we think about it and what it represents, that perhaps your mind is confused. So once again, you have a closed mind, you have a cluttered mind, and perhaps you have a confused mind. A mind that's trying to figure out what to do. And so many things distract us and cause that confusion. We're trying to figure out the truth as it is represented in our lives. Who we truly are. Searching to find what our meaning is in this life that we've had. And I know some of you are younger than I am, some of you are older than I am, but I look back at the 60 years of my life, and I still ask those same questions. God, I've done some good things, I've done some bad things, am I still on track with you? Because God, many times I get so confused in terms of what direction I should have. There just seems to be so many choices out there for me. What is the direction for me? What do you want me to do? But God reminds us that in our confused mind that He wants us to get back on track with the truth of what we represent in Christ. The truth of who we are. The truth and the direction that God has provided us all along the way. And as we sang, "Be Still My Soul," one of the verses that I was thinking about is the same God that has been with you in the past is the same God that you can trust and have confidence in the present and in the future. And I look back at my life, and when I see the confusion that I'm having in the present, all I have to do is look back at my past to see where God has been with me and how He has guided all of my steps, even though at the time I was confused and I didn't understand and I lacked the confidence that God wanted me to have. Does anyone else have that problem? Or is it just me? The confidence that God wants you and I to have. The confidence in which we take that confused mind and we clear it all up. We all of a sudden find ourselves on the right track. We find ourselves understanding as we take each step we do so with God walking by our side. But you know what? The true mind that God wants us to have is one in which God is constantly working at, cultivating, taking the seed of the Word of God that has been given to us, and it is producing something in our lives that we never thought possible. Because you and I have come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and because of that, you and I have good ground in which the Word of God, the seed that of God that comes from us through the presence of Him in our lives, is cultivated on the good ground that Christ has laid for us because of what He has done for us on the cross. And so God wants us to have that cultivated mind in which the different things in our lives as we face those challenges, at times when our minds are closed, at times when our minds are cluttered, at times when our minds are confused, God wants us to clear that all out. He wants us to become open to the seed, to the Word of God in our lives so we can grow in Him, so we can mature, so we can see and understand the things of God that we could never see and understand before. God wants us to have a mind in which we always want to grow in Him. So how do we have that cultivated mind that God wants us to have? Well, quite simply, we live a life that honors God. We live a life that is that presence that God wants us to have. We live a life in which we see as we are doing the things each day that we are producing the things and the good ground and the soil that Christ has given us because of what He's done on the cross. We do it by faith. We do it by the good things that we do for each other. Not in terms of a way in which we can earn our way into heaven, but we do good things because we want to honor God. As we have talked about before, we want to do the right thing. We want to do the kind thing. We want to be able to say, even though it's difficult as this is, and when I think about it, I think about how difficult it is for me, we want to welcome the enemies in our lives in the same way that we welcome our friends. And that is tough to do. But that's where God wants us to be. If there is a test in terms of how you are growing in God, how you are cultivating the Word of God in your life, I don't know if I can welcome all of my enemies and treat them as my friends, but I know that I am trying. I am trying. And I think that's what God wants us to do, to try.
because it reveals how we are truly applying the Word of God in our lives. And then we see different things in our lives. Not righteousness that is out of self-righteousness, where we have that, if you will, that self-righteous attitude that we're better than anybody else, but the righteousness that goes along with the holiness that God wants us to have because we desire to grow with God. We desire to do those things that honor God. And the spiritual life that we have is something that is genuine. It's not something that we make up. It's not something that we take out of a package and mix with water and hopefully something produces. But it's something that's genuine. It's something that is real. It's something that you and I know that as we walk with God, there's a truth in terms of what it represents. And we see the cultivating that is taking place. We see the different fruits of our life and the relationships that we have. We see how we want to care for others, that we have a burden for others. And it's not always about ourselves. Because if we follow the example of Jesus Christ in the call to worship that we read this morning, it's where Jesus Christ allowed himself to become a servant and was obedient even to death on the cross. In the same way, we are called to be a servant as Christ was. We are called to be obedient to the Word of God in our lives, regardless of wherever it takes us. And we need to have a genuine burden for others, a caring. And then as we're doing those things, all of a sudden when we come and worship or when we're by ourselves, our praise and our thanksgiving just brings honor to God in all that we do, in all that we say. And one of the other things that demonstrates how we are sowing the good seed within our lives and we are cultivating it and we're allowing the fruits of God to be sown to others as we grow and we just produce all kinds of good things, is we find ourselves willing to share what we have with others. And the best definition I have with sharing what we have with others, it has to make us hurt. So in other words, if you're sharing what God has given you with others, and if it doesn't ouch you, hear what I'm saying? If it doesn't ouch you, ouch, right? You understand what I mean by that? If you're sharing what God has given to you with others, and if it's not ouching you, if you're not feeling, oh, God, I don't know if I want to do that. That's kind of a little bit more than I want to. But you know, that's a standard that we should have when we want to share those things that God has given us with others. Because then we truly are doing the things that honor God. We are truly listening. And we're truly understanding. We have the ears that God wants us to have to listen to the teachings of Jesus Christ through his parables because they walk alongside of us. And we produce the fruit that God wants us to have. An abundance of living, an abundance of joy, an abundance of fellowship, an abundance of love that I think all of us want to have in our relationships with each other, but most importantly, with our relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we can sense that abundance. We can see all of those many blessings that God has given us. We can see those little miracles that are taking place in our lives every day. And we say to God, God, I want you to teach me more. I want to hear more of your word. I want to understand more. I want to be cultivated more. And that's where the other parables will come into play as we learn and understand those things in which God wants us to grow in, that God wants us to mature in. And as we have said before here in the chapel,
we will never reach perfection. But that does not mean that we should give up trying. Because that's how God wants us to live. That when we make a mistake, when we say things that we shouldn't say, when we're unkind to someone else, when we become a little bit more selfish, when we don't want to go through the ouch phase in our lives and we hold something back, and then later on we say, okay, God, I get it. I should have given a little bit more. I should have been a little kinder. Lord, forgive me. I was having a bad day. I had too much caffeine. I didn't have enough to eat. But you know what? It's when that still, small voice is speaking to us to remind us of the things that we need to work on. It's a reminder to you and to me that God is continuing to work in your life and that you have not been forsaken. You are not hopeless. You have value. And God is still working in your life. Because God wants you to cultivate all of the different times that God has planted seeds in your life, in that firm foundation, the good soil, the good ground that we have through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the cultivation will continue. The growing will continue. The maturity will continue. And all we have to say is, yes, Lord, allow that seed, Your word, come into my life and help me to produce those things that bring honor and glory to You. Amen. We will have communion here. And for those of you who have not come to chapel before, I practice communion. And what that means is if you know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're welcome to take communion with us. That You have reminded us that in all of our failures that we have success in You. And God, help us to take those failures, those mistakes, those sins that we have done, the unkindness, the wrongs that we have done, and just lay them before You right now at the cross. And God, we just look up to You right now in spirit and in truth. And we just say, thank You, God, for forgiving us of our sins, of taking all of our imperfections, all of the impurities in our lives, and making them clean, making them whole, making them pure, making them genuine. And God, we just want to praise You for that. That You love us just the way we are. Thank You, God, for this time of communion that we can publicly remember the sacrifice and the life that You want to live through us every day because of the cross. In Christ's name, amen.
For I received from the Lord, but I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 431, "Open My Eyes That I May See." Hymn number 431. Gracious God, your word is always there walking alongside of us. And God, we just want to have it in our lives so that we can continue to grow in you and produce the fruit that honors and glorifies you. Help us, God, to do that. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.